Amen. I'm going to give you tonight what the Lord gave me the other night as I was just with Him and just looking over scriptures and thinking about things. And God began to speak to me. You can go ahead and be seated. I'm sorry. God began to speak to me about worship. Okay? And that's one of the reasons I wanted to leave the kids in, because we all need to learn to worship. We all need to get to the place where we can worship. We, as a church, we do pretty good with praise. You know, we clap our hands and that kind of thing. We can run and shout. But when it comes down to just pure worship, it seems like a lot of folks disengage. They or don't know how to get engaged in the first place. So I want to talk about that some tonight. I don't know how long we'll be, if we'll be a long time or not very long time, but I'm going to give you what God gave me and some things that He spoke to me. In John chapter 4, if you'll jump over there with me real quickly. John chapter 4, and in verse 23, Jesus is talking with the woman at the well. Okay? And so here's what He says. You know, He's talked to her about, you know, the living water that He needed to give her. And they're talking about worship. And Jesus tells her, He says, you don't even know really what you're worshiping at all. You know, and I sometimes feel like that's where the church is, not just our church, but a lot of churches really don't know how to worship or what they're worshiping. I mean, we say, well, we worship in Jesus, but are we worshiping Jesus or Jesus? Or are we singing songs? And see, there's such a difference. In verse 23 here, He says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, I want to give that to you from the Message Bible, because I thought it just came out so well there. It says, but the time is coming, it has in fact come, when what you're called will not matter, and where you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being Himself, spirit. Those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. Man, that's pretty deep right there. If we're going to worship Him, we got to be ourselves, but we've got to worship Him from our most inner being, who we really are. See, it's more than a song. True worship's not just singing a song. It's allowing the song to bring you into the presence of God. That's why He spoke that to me real plain. He said, you know, most folks are singing the songs. And here's the thing, if you're focused on singing the songs, and there's nothing wrong, we love it when you sing along, but don't let the song distract you from the presence of God. Or entering into the presence of God. Amen. So we have to learn how to enter into His presence. We sing a song called The Throne Room, and when we sing it, a lot of people just don't check with people because they don't really get it. The throne room is the very presence of God. When Isaiah walked into the presence of God, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. What a glorious thing it is to come into the throne room, to get into the presence of God through worship. Now, praise is awesome. We love praise. I love praise. And the Bible tells us that we should praise the Lord, and we need to praise the Lord. But here's the thing. God wants true worshipers also. And He wants us to worship in spirit and truth. See, we're doing fast songs. Everybody can relate to that because we can clap our hands and we feel like we're participating, right? Come on, if we can clap our hands, even if it's offbeat, we feel like we're participating. And you are. But then when we slow it down and we start to worship, you get fidgety. Because you're not sure where to go there. You can't clap your hands to that slow song. So what do you got to do? Well, you know, I saw some of the kids playing. And that's the reason I left them in here. Because I want them to engage in worship also. Now, we have a great bunch of kids. And they do worship. But I want them to learn to engage in worship here with us. Because they're going to need God more than anybody. I mean, we need Him, but they're going to, you know, should the Lord tarry, they're going to need to know how to worship God. And see, here's the thing about worship, folks. Worship can happen even in bad times. When you're down, when you're out, you can still worship God. It's hard to praise when you're down and out. Come on, you know, I keep thinking, you know, about the Elf movie everybody watched through Christmas, you know, when they think he's a singing telegram. Y'all remember that? Well, aren't you going to sing me a song? Well, I'm in my dad's office and I'm singing. You know, I mean, he's trying to come up with something, but it's hard because it's on the spot and it's an awkward situation. And sometimes I think that's the way we are before God. We need to learn how to get into the presence of God and let the song take us there. When I listen to praise and worship music, I don't listen to it to sing along with it. Sometimes I do, but most of the time, if I'm driving, I have to kind of just sing along. But if I'm just by myself and it's that time, and I don't have to be by myself, I can do it in the sanctuary too. I can't do it much when I'm playing, it's harder. But because, you know, I'm not there yet with my playing skills. But you all, you have to allow that song to bring you into the presence of God. The first song said, I'm not ashamed. See, we should never be ashamed to come into the presence of God or never be ashamed of what somebody beside us thinks. We shouldn't care what they're doing. Let them do them and you do you. But in any and every aspect, we ought to be worshiping God. We ought to be turning our hearts to Him and pressing into the very inner throne room. The very presence of God. But a lot of times, see, we're distracted by things around us. And it makes it harder for us to do that. But see, sometimes maybe you just need to close your eyes. One of the reasons I don't like sitting in the back of churches, no matter where I go, is I don't want any distractions. I don't want to go to the bathroom with everybody that goes to the bathroom. Right? You all know what I'm talking about. You see somebody, you know, if there's kids acting up and things going on like that, I don't want that distraction. I want to be in His presence. Even if the word's being preached, I want to be able to make sure that I can hear that word. And I want that word to soak in. You know, sometimes there's a joke and they say, well, there's more fire up front. It's not that. It's the fact that there's no distractions. Amen. The anointing's in the house. But we have to learn how to do that. And worshiping in the Spirit is letting go of the natural. I'm just giving you some things that the Lord spoke to me. Again, I'm not worried about who sees me. I'm not worried about how I look to others. I don't care if they think I'm a just total idiot. I don't care because I'll be an idiot for Jesus anytime. Come on. Come on. Some folks are idiots for the world. How about we just be crazy for Jesus? You know, they talk about, yeah, they used to have, DC Talk used to have Jesus Freak as a song. I don't care if they label me a Jesus Freak. That's what I want to be. I don't care what anybody thinks about it. I don't care if anybody else don't want to worship. I want to worship Him. I want to be in His presence. And what better place than to come together with all this corporate anointing here for us to worship? See, it almost feels like sometimes that we came just to have a social gathering. and worshiping God and coming together as brothers and sisters in the Lord to lift up our Heavenly Father is more than a social gathering. Yes, we're socially gathered, but we came here as worshipers of God. You were created and born to worship God. Amen. It's our very job to worship God. Now, yes, at the same time, we've got to be witnesses everywhere we go. But I promise you, if you're a worshiper of God, your witness will be so much stronger. The anointing on your life will be so much stronger. Matter of fact, the more you worship God, the more bold you'll get. Because you don't care anymore what anybody thinks. See, sometimes folks are timid about entering into the presence of God, but you have to make sure that you press in, as Paul told us. Just keep pressing in. And so we don't care what anybody says. No, we don't care what we look like in front of anybody else. What we're doing is we're positioning ourselves to melt into the flow of the anointing that's present in the house. There's an anointing in the house that we get ourselves to the place where we melt into that. What do you mean melt into that? I mean, it means the natural melts away and we melt into the Spirit and we really don't even pay any attention to anything else that's going on around us. Amen. Maybe somebody's running. That's okay. Let them run. But I'm at this place to where I'm literally losing grip on the natural so that I can touch the supernatural. And see, that's where you'll find your healing. That's where you'll find the strength that you need sometimes to be lifted up. But you got to let go of the natural and slide into the supernatural. That's where it's happening. Come on. You understand that in the spirit realm, things are going on. Angels are worshiping God, and you and I need to flow in that to that in the spirit realm. And a lot of times folks come to church and they'll be here all service and they'll never touch the spirit realm because they can't allow the natural to go away. They're more worried about, you know, there's something this and this is going on, this. What are we going to do after church? Where are we all going to go eat after church? Come on now. There's things that we get set in our head, and the enemy uses those things to try to stop you from going into the presence of God, from actually worshiping God. There's so many things that distract us, but Psalm 91 says this. Listen to this now. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. That's from the Amplified. Let me read that to you one more time. Can I? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. What he just told us is that we need to find the secret place. We need to find that secret place in God, entering into His presence. And notice this, no foe can harm us there. Once we enter ourselves into the secret place, once we worship the Lord and enter into His presence, then the enemy's not going to be able to inject those things into your head again. Those thoughts. Because you're into the place to where the anointing is there. You're in His presence. You're in the secret place. And the enemy doesn't know where it's at. See, you've got to understand this. That's one of the things that the reason the devil hates us so much. Now, he knows what it's like to be right in the presence of worship. He used to be worship leader in heaven. His pipes were created in it. He used to lead the angels in worship. He knows what it's like to be in the secret place. But once he betrayed God, was cast out, he can no longer find that place anymore. And he's so jealous of you and I because now we have the anointing upon us. He used to be the anointed cherub. But he's now the one that they look at and laugh and say, is this the one that deceived the nations? He's ridiculed now. You and I have stepped up and now we're anointed. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of us and we are able to go in. He wouldn't say that we could dwell in the secret place if we couldn't dwell in the secret place. Rick said it the other night, a dwelling is more than a visitation. Dwelling in the secret place means I'm continually wanting to be there. I'm not just going on vacation there for a week and then come back. No, my heart's desire is to live there. To live in the presence of God. Now that doesn't mean you're all the time, I realize we're in this world, and it doesn't mean you're all the time, you know, But in your spirit, you can be. And God's telling us, you're right in my presence, right in my house. And you're all gathered together and that corporate anointing is flowing. So we need here, more than anything, to come in together and worship God. And see, here's the thing. So many people, their worship depends on the song the praise team sings. If it's the right song, we can worship. And if it's not, we can't. Here's the thing, church, and realize this. Learning new songs is tough. Amen. And you hear a good song that you can go down the road singing to on the radio or whatever, on K-Love or on The Message or whatever, but that don't mean it's applicable in a church service. So it's kind of hard to come up with new songs. So that's why you hear us a lot of times sing same songs. Well, they just keep singing the same. Well, we're trying new ones. We're working on one right now. But none of us are professionals. We're all self-taught. And we're trying to make these songs as close as possible as to the original. And sometimes that means months working on one song. And then we come in and we sing that song and you all go this way. You don't even try to enter into worship. You don't try to enter into His presence. I'm not jumping on to you by any means. I'm just telling you, there's certain songs, and don't get me wrong, there's certain songs I like better than others too. But they'll always tell you, once you're sick of a song, that's when you're doing it the best. And I know there's some songs that you are sick of. Sometimes I put songs on Planning Center, and the girls comment, oh no, we doing that song again? Because they've sung it and sung it and sung it. But here's the thing. It's not the song. It's for you to take that and allow that to take you into the place. Don't matter if you heard it 1,000 times or 2,000 times or whatever. It's for you to... It really is to set the atmosphere for worship. You don't even have to have music to worship. You see, and that's the thing. You really don't have to, it shouldn't have to take your favorite song. Matter of fact, the reason that we came in here tonight was to worship Him. That's the only reason they came. And if the electric went off, the lights went out, we didn't have any kind of music, we ought to be able to still worship Him just the same. It shouldn't make a difference. We ought to even, matter of fact, push in harder. Devil, you think you can stop us from worshiping? You're wrong. Listen. I want to show you a little something. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I got very few notes, by the way. I mean, I just said, Lord, I just got to trust you on this. And that's what He's doing with me right now. Paul and Silas. You remember? They cast the spirit out of the lady that kept saying, these are the men of the Most High God. They show us the way of salvation. And the Paul finally gets tired and turns around and says, come out of her, you unclean spirit. And the people got mad because they'd lost their way, fortune teller now. And they beat them and put them in the inner prison so that they would stand trial the next day. In other words, they probably were going to kill them the next day. They're in prison. Their backs are bleeding. They're in stocks and bonds. And they're there. And the Bible says that Paul and Silas began to worship God at midnight. They began to worship God, pray, sing praises. They did not allow their circumstances to stop them from worshiping God. And as they worshiped God, all of a sudden the earth starts shaking. I've said this jokingly, but it may be true. God just kind of started patting his foot. You know, the earth's his footstool, right? But the place starts shaking. Doors fly open. Chains fall off them. They're freed. Everybody in the prison is free. And they're free to run. But nobody runs. Because there is an anointing in that prison right now. Because they've been worshiping God to the place where the prisoners are even afraid to run. They don't necessarily maybe know what's going on, but they're afraid to take off running. And the jailer's been asleep and he wakes up and he thinks everybody's gone. Why would he think that? Because the presence of God is so awesome in that place. Nobody's speaking. Nobody's moving. They're just... I love it when that kind of anointing comes into the church. To where everybody just... And you don't want to speak. You don't want to sing. You don't want to run. You just soak in His presence. The jailer comes in and he thinks that's it. He's getting ready to kill himself because he knows they're going to kill him or maybe torture him. So he's just going to kill himself. And then Paul speaks up and says, don't do anything to yourself. We're all here. Their worship, and probably one of the worst circumstances anybody could ever be, caused the jailer and his family all to be saved. So you don't ever know when somebody comes into this building that needs Jesus more than anything else in their life. And we come in because we're all church folk. Right? We're used to this. Can I tell you something? You have in this church, and not because of me, but it's because of the Spirit of the Lord, but you have in this church something many, many, many churches don't have. We take it for granted because almost every service, the presence of God moves on people. Many people go to church year after year after year, and the most happens is somebody gets cries or somebody... But sometimes it's not because of God. It's because they sing an earthly song that makes them cry. Think about mom and dad. I want us to think about him. If we're going to think about dad, let's let it be the right dad. Let's let it be our heavenly father. Let's make sure that we're worshiping because our worship could be the very thing that draws somebody that's not saved to the altar. Because they come in and realize there's a real tangible presence of the Holy Spirit, and that real tangible Spirit will convict that person and cause them to move toward God. Worship is important. Matter of fact, you know, that's what God desires, is for us to get into that place and to worship. But sometimes we forget. Sometimes we've just went to church. But you and I, we need to be seeking the secret place to dwell in. Can I tell you something? You cannot dwell in two places. You cannot dwell in two places. You either got to dwell in the secret place or dwell in the world. When we come to church, we're in the natural or we're in the spirit. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You can only serve one. Because what will happen is you'll hold on to one and hate the other. And we have to be careful that when we come in, we're not dwelling with the things in our mind, the things we're going to do, the things, places we're going to go. But we've set our heart. I've come to dwell in the secret place for the next 2 hours. Now, I hope you take it farther than that. But when we're in here, there should be, I mean, you know, there's not TVs on other than scriptures, monitors. You know, there's nothing to distract. Phones, you really, unless you're using it for your Bible app, phone ought to be turned off, and be honest with you, using your electronics as that, if you don't turn off all notifications, then you'll get sidetracked there. Because somebody will surely send you a message even though they know you go to church. That might make folks mad, but it's the truth. Our hearts need to be set. If we're really going to enter into His presence, if we're really going to come in and worship Him, that ought to be what we came to do. That and that only. For 2 hours. or whatever the Holy Ghost does. But we ought to be set on that. This is what I'm going to do. We can do it. You can do it. Come on. I've worked with and do work with and fish with and whatever with folks that smoke. I'm not jumping on the smokers, but I want to make a point with this. A lot of times they respect me enough and the whatever that no matter if it's even a 2 or 3 hour trip, they won't smoke one cigarette that time. And once we stop somewhere, they'll get out and whatever and smoke. You know, and I thank God for that. I appreciate that. What I'm saying is they're able to control themselves for that long to where they might smoke 5, 6, 7, 8 cigarettes in that time any other time. Now, if they can do that with cigarettes, which is an addictive thing, what about us with electronics? Surely we can put them down for that long. Surely we're not that important. I understand some jobs, people are on call and you have that. But I'm just saying, if you really want to dwell in the secret place, don't leave a doorway open to another place. Because it's so important for us to get into His presence and worship Him. Because as we worship Him, I promise you, God is working and doing some things. Not only is He doing things in your life, but He's doing things in the congregation and in other people's life as we worship. It's our obligation, it's our duty, it's our job as children of God to make sure that we worship. Now, we've got to be willing, and if we're going to dwell in His presence, we've got to be willing to let go of the flesh. And I promise you, your mind will fight you. Right? Your body will fight you. Anybody ever got down on your knees and decided you was going to pray a while on your knees? It won't be 3 minutes before your knees are hurting. Right? Come on now. You might flip over on your butt and after a while your butt's hurting. Wouldn't now normally do that, but you're praying, you see. Your body's a fighting you. Your mind's a fighting you. When it comes to worship, anybody ever get like this and you're worshiping God and all of a sudden feels like your arms is falling off? Right? That's your body fighting. I mean, I want to worship God, you know, and so, you know, we have to find a way to overcome that so we can kind of do this, you know. Whatever it takes to get into worship and stay there. Do what it takes. Don't let the enemy win out and say, well, I just can't, you know. Yes, you can. If your legs start getting, sit down and worship if you have to. But worship. Don't let him distract you from what you came here to do. We came here to worship. Now, we've got to just be willing to totally surrender to the Spirit if we want to dwell in that secret place. Because He must increase while we decrease. If when we come into the service, we make sure that it's all about Him and not about us, it'll be so much easier for us to be able to get into that secret place. You know, sometimes we put on pretty clothes and, you know, we're looking at ourselves to see, you know, do we look all right? And you wonder if anybody's noticed this. Right? It's real quiet. You know. But when we come, it's all right to wear pretty clothes. God loves it when you wear pretty clothes. He loves pretty clothes. He wants you to have pretty clothes. He wants you to dress the best. But He wants you to do it for you and not to impress somebody else. He wants you to do it for you, not so that you could be seen of somewhere else, somebody else. When we come here, we need to come with one frame of mind. I've come to worship God. And there ain't no devil in hell going to keep me from doing it. I've decided and I've made up my mind. I'm going to worship Him. No matter what. And as we do that, you watch and see our services will intensify. The gifts of the Spirit will intensify. The whole atmosphere will be energized with the anointing of God. And we'll see signs, wonders, and miracles. It won't be even prompted. You'll just see God doing it spontaneous because He's being worshipped by His children. Worshipped by His children. Church, it's all about us setting that atmosphere for Him to do what He wants to do. Not about us. All about Him. So that's all I've got. I just wanted to make sure that I said what He wanted me to say. And I hope I have encouraged you tonight to want to worship. So when we come in here Sunday morning, don't wait for the right song. Come in already worshiping. And worship throughout the service. Make sure that you're putting God first. And watch what He does in your life. And in your family. Who knows what else? God desires worship. We're the ones created to do it. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. Father, I ask You to help us now to worship the way You want us to worship, Father. Laying down everything, casting off all of our cares over on You because You care for us. Help us, Lord, to walk into the secret place when we get here, Father, and dwell there so that You can get honor and glory out of us.